Sam LaPrade Show continues on City News.
101.1 FM and 1310 AM.
Well, there's a lot of news coming out of Queen's Park today. We wanted to speak with John Fraser, Liberal MPP for Ottawa South and the interim Liberal leader today regarding long-term care legislation, Bill 7. John joins us now. Hi, John.
Hi, Sam. How are you?
Good. John, we've spoken about long-term care in the past. We've spoken about the healthcare crisis that's going on. It seems like the Ford government wants to move very quickly on Bill 7. How are you feeling about that today?
Well, I think that, look, it's not the right thing to do. You know, almost with every bill, we invite people, you know, in this case, it would be doctors, advocates, families to come and tell us how the bill, how they see the bill, how it's going to affect them. And I think if we did that, the government would see that they have to withdraw this bill. But the government's in a rush. They're not actually being transparent with, some basic questions that I think, you know, the thousands of families who find themselves in the situation and listening to what the government's going to do want answered.
And a big question on so many people's minds, distance today that we're hearing is 30 kilometers and 100 kilometers, meaning that if someone lives in the city of Ottawa and they were to be transferred to a long-term care home from a hospital, they could only do that within 30 kilometers. But if they were outside the area, let's say in Carleton Place, for instance, then it would be 100 kilometers. That is quite a difference for families in this province, John.
Yeah, no, it is. And if, you know, it's just thinking about this morning, you know, I think families want to do the right thing and have their loved one go to a place that's safe and, you know, hopefully close enough for them to get to. And if it's a bit harder for them to get there, they'll still try to get there. But for some people, it's just, you know, it puts them in a bad situation. You know, for instance, my mom, you know, there was a home, you know, that was farther away from downtown, that was in the West End or in Kanata, and that was a good, safe place for her to temporarily be. We could manage that. We would be a lot of driving, but we could manage that and we could get there. But if my dad was at home and she was moved there and he was the essential caregiver, the person who was going out to visit, it would be extremely hard for that person to go that distance. You know, mm-hmm. is 30 kilometers, you know, it's 300 kilometers in the north, that's a pretty big threshold. But, you know, if you want to talk just about the city of Ottawa, is it the boundaries of the city of Ottawa, 30 kilometers beyond that? Is it from the resident's home? Is it from the hospital? You know, because, again, for instance, if my, you know, if I'll give the example of, well, anybody in the city, if it's at the boundary of the city and, you know, my mom lives in the center of the city, she could be at a home in Arnprior, the Grove in Arnprior maybe. And so that would be, you know, would isolate her. You know, that's one of the challenges that, you know, people become isolated. They depend on their essential caregivers and their families. And, you know, I think the reason that this is unfair is there's a few thousand families that are in this situation in Ontario, and they're listening very closely to what is happening right now. Their loved ones in hospital. And when you're in hospital, you're extremely vulnerable. You're vulnerable, your family's vulnerable, and they just need answers. Like, how far can they go? How much can a patient be charged? Right? If they, refuse to be moved, without their consent. Because we do know that there is an ability for hospitals to charge more than the copay in long-term care. What are the exact steps to go to discharge? How do we ensure that there are enough staff to safely admit additional residents? And because we know, long-term care has got greater staffing challenges than our hospitals, mostly because of Bill 124.
Mm-hmm. And let's talk about Bill 124 for a second. We know, you know, we've heard from so many nurses in terms of locally here, the pressure that Bill 124 has put on the system. Do you think that the Ford government should have dealt with Bill 124 before dealing with Bill 7?
Oh, yeah. No, Bill 124 should have been repealed 18 months ago. And because it's become a couple of really important reasons is private agencies, staffing agencies are now poaching staff a lot from long-term care homes because they can pay more. And then their long-term care homes, because they lose staff, depend on agencies. So these agency nurses, for instance, can come back at 2 and 3 times the price. So it's setting up, you know, the situation where the attrition of nurses in the publicly funded system is increasing. And also Bill 124, you know, if we're going to attract healthcare workers to this province, because we're in a competition for healthcare workers with 9 other provinces and, you know, and other places in North America, Bill 124 is not an incentive. It's a disincentive. Well, you know, if the government's going to do that in the publicly funded system, do I want to work in that place? And so, you know, I think the government's failed to see that. They've been stubbornly hanging on to it. It's also, you know, rightly interpreted by nursing and other frontline healthcare professionals, because it's not just nurses, as a lack of respect. What they're saying is, you're not allowed to bargain, but, you know, if you're on the police service or the fire service, you can bargain.
It certainly has been a big topic. I mean, I can't tell you how many interviews I've done on it from every kind of different perspective. It certainly is top of mind today, especially as we look at Bill 7 for so many healthcare workers. When I was listening to Premier Ford today in the House, one of the sort of notions that he was trying to put forward was that he and his government were trying to clean up what's been done by the Liberals and the NDP for the last decade, and this is the kind of change that needs to happen. How do you respond to that type of messaging today from Ford?
Well, you know, I think that the Premier has to realize that the status quo that he talks about is one that he, in large part, has created right now with things like Bill 124, with not investing in home care, with not giving the kind of supports to long-term care. You know, all governments, you know, when you're in a government, you know, your things that you do, there's always more that you can do. And so the time is not now for us to, you know, the time right now, the thing to do right now in this time is to address Bill 7, be fair to families. Right? It's not about people attacking each other inside the legislative assembly. It's about actually giving people answers to the questions that they really need, so that they won't have anxiety, so they'll know what the rules are. And so, you know, the government is being deliberately vague. Like, all they have to come out and say is hospitals can only charge the copay for long-term care, which is normally done when an ALC patient is waiting. And they're not allowed to charge the $100 or $1,900 a day to use as a stick, you know, the threat of a big hospital bill to force people to do things without their consent. There's ways to work with families. They need to withdraw this bill and take a more thoughtful and caring approach. And I'm sure that that can be done. They need to take enough time to get it right. And rushing the bill through isn't doing that.
Well, let's be honest, John. We all know of those long-term care homes within this city that we probably wouldn't want our loved one to be at. This is going to put a lot of pressure on families to have loved ones somewhere that maybe isn't not only not just their top choice, but their 10th choice.
Well, what it really says is we can send you anywhere that we like within a certain geographical distance, no matter what your choices were. That's my understanding, my reading of the bill, without your consent. Although the government says, no, that's not going to happen, but that's exactly what the bill says. And so, you know, the most important thing is when, you know, the elderly, people with disabilities are people too. So they have rights. And so they have rights to know that where they're going is a place that's going to have enough staff, that they're going to get that they're going to receive what they need, that they're going to get good care. So, you know, it's, you know, they deserve that. They've earned that. I'm not saying this is easy. In fact, it's quite hard. But using, you know, taking, you know, the kind of blunt instruments with, you know, people not knowing how much they could get charged or people not knowing how far they could go, and using those things to, you know, essentially, you know, potentially coerce people to make choices that, you know, or to have a choice that they don't want.
Mm-hmm.
It's not right.
And I think, John, it's only people that have had firsthand experience, right? If you haven't been part of the long-term care home situation, especially during this pandemic, or you haven't, you know, had to put a loved one in, there's a lot of Ontarians that don't understand the impact that potentially will be coming to them 5, 10, 15 years down the road from decisions that are being made today on August the 25th, 2022.
Well, the thing is this is not time-limited legislation. There's not a time limit on this. Mm-hmm. This is not a temporary measure. Right? This is a measure that's, that is in law, that's got no date for revocation. It's not in the bill. So you're right. The government's asking legislators to pass a bill that's unclear about something they say we need to do right now that isn't time limited. And then not telling the people the rules around it, like how far, how much, are there enough people there? What are the rules? It's just, these are people. And the quality of their lives are important. And I think most families want to do the right thing. They want to do the right thing for our publicly funded healthcare system. And so they're going to do what they can to make it work for their mom or dad and to help. But they need the government to actually give them assurances that the choices that are being made are the right ones for the people who they love.
Mm-hmm. Are you hearing from your constituents in Ottawa South today about this impact, John?
Yeah, no, we emails, calls. Their advocates, Champlain Network here, are quite concerned about it. Here's the thing. Once this bill passes, there'll be a few thousand families will be affected by this. And there won't be it's harder for all of us to see, whether it's a legislator or whether it's in the media, what's happening in a Hospital X, the family, the Smith family. And so, that's concerning, right? So that's why we need to know the rules. And so that's the thing that's driving people's anxiety. And then there will be situations where, not everybody is watching the legislature or hearing the news, where families just might find out as all the rules change, they didn't know it was coming 2 weeks from now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was thinking about that too.
It'll come as a surprise to them.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you take more time to debate the bill. That's why you talk about it. That's why you invite public delegations. That's why you want more coverage in the media so people know, in this case, what's coming down the pike. And there will be families that don't know, and it will be a shock to them. And the government's not giving assurances right now about, how it's going to work, how much, how far, how many staff.
Appreciate your time always. Thank you so much, John.
Thanks a lot, Sam. Take care.
John Fraser joining us today, Liberal MPP for Ottawa South, and of course, newly appointed interim leader of the Liberal Party as of August the 3rd. So he holds that new role as well, speaking about Bill 7 today. When we come back, we're going to meet Julie Caldwell. Stay with us here on City News.
Sam LaPrade will be right back on City News.
101.1 FM and 1310 AM.